And of course, we went in, we began the rosary, and we were singing, and then during the rosary, out came this priest. And when he began to speak, I realized that he was the priest who had spoken the night before in Medjugorje, the priest I could not see because he was in the church and I was outside, a priest who only recently had begun to be allowed to be preaching again in Medjugorje. It was Father Jozo. He offered a beautiful homily and a beautiful meditation on Medjugorje, and I whispered over to my guide, I would really love to talk to this man sometime. And I thought nothing more of it. After Mass, we all went out to be blessed by Father Jozo. He was still doing the blessings himself then, instead of delegating the priest to join him in doing that. And we all went outside and stood in a large circle in the courtyard around that statue of Our Lady Queen of Peace that is there. And as he began to bless people, I saw some of them slain in the spirit, falling over on the ground. I'd never seen this before. I'd heard about it, I knew about it, but I'd never seen it. And I was scared. Now, I wasn't scared because of everyone, because I knew some people were perhaps psyching themselves up into this. You can tell that some people are sort of wanting it to happen and perhaps making it happen, because as they try to go over inch by inch, they keep looking to see if someone is there to catch them. They don't make a big bang of it, you know, and I was a little suspicious of that. But I saw some of my teenagers, who I knew very well, hit the floor so fast that I knew something was happening there, and I was scared as he came around that circle, moving his way toward me. And I said, my God, he's some sort of charismatic. And I knew what charismatic meant, which made it all the scarier for me. As he got to me, he put one hand on my head and one hand on the head of the man next to me. And again, I was in civilian clothes. And he prayed over me, and I just bit my tongue, and I kept saying over and over in my heart, God, I don't want this to happen. God, I don't want this to happen. Nothing happened. He walked on, I was relieved. He came right back. I had one of those buttons on. You know, the guides always give us these buttons so we don't get lost. I feel like I'm in a kindergarten field trip. Or the matching t-shirts, and you all hold hands crossing the street together. And I had this button on that said, Mirror Retreat, Father Tim Dieter. And he pointed to the name, Tim. And he said, Team. And I knew he meant, what does that mean? And so I spoke the only language I felt I could communicate with him in. I spoke in Latin. I said, Timotheus, ego sum sacerdos, which means, Timothy, I am a priest. And he said, ah, Timotheus. He put both hands in my head. And I felt such warmth go through my body from my head to my feet. I didn't get slain. I wouldn't allow it. That happened later on in another visit. Let me mention now that within 11 months, I went to Medjugorje 5 times. Well, I felt very good about the Tihaline experience. I was glad it was over, but it was interesting. I chalked it up as a good experience, and then we went back to Medjugorje for another Mass that evening. Mass, rosary, Mass, rosary, Mass, rosary. It was Corpus Christi, as I said, and they were planning an extra special Mass, a big Mass, lots of incense like today, and a long procession outside the church. And I was interested in that because I've always heard about those beautiful expressions of faith in Europe. I was psyched up for it. And the church was crowded, people crawling all over the place, stuck on the floor. You know how it is, and it's hot and sweaty in there, and your thighs are sticking to the person next to you. Well, this time I decided to go as a priest and get my seat up front. And when I got into the sanctuary, because I was outside hearing confessions now, I started to get into this. And I got in, and almost all the chairs were full. And there was one chair left. And that chair was at an angle with me. And at the very last moment before the Mass began, who came in and took that seat but Father Yozo. And I kind of sat up in my chair and like, you know, remember me? I'm the one you fussed over at Tialina today. He didn't pay a bit of attention. He was praying. Wasn't looking around. And the Mass began. And I noticed that during the homily, as we were passing the book around with the priest sign to show that we are all offering the Mass intentions of the pilgrims, I wrote my name in the book and we passed it down the rows and it got to Father Yozo probably about 15, 20 priests later. And he wrote his name in the book, the last name, and then he opened the book again to the page where we had begun signing for that Mass. And he took his finger, I could see this, and he ran his finger down the first page. He ran it down the second page to the middle till he got to my name and underlined my name. And without a word, closed the book and held it to his heart for the remainder of the homily. Again, I began to get scared, because I know a holy man when I see one. Priests are around so many priests, we perhaps better than anybody know the good ones, because we're very careful about to whom we go for confession. During the Mass, I said, please, God, I am afraid of this man. Reminds me of St. Peter saying, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinner. At Holy Communion time, the priests were passing the paten, the gold plate with the host, from one to another, each taking their communion host, and was coming down the rows. It went from Father Yozo down the rows over there, and came to me, and the man next to me was a deacon. And I went to take the paten from him, to take my host, but Father Yozo stepped forward and took the paten from the deacon and held up the host, and he said, Team, Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, and gave me Holy Communion, and then took the paten and passed it on to the next priest who continued to hand it on. And I thought to myself, something is very strange here. At the end of Mass, they put the large consecrated host for benediction in the monstrance and set it on the altar, the large display case in which we put the Blessed Sacrament. And we all knelt down, and the clouds of incense began to rise, and the people began to sing, and the church was filled with song, as many of you know it can be. I was in ecstasy. I love benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. It's a special way of helping me focus on the reality of the Eucharist. Communion is too busy and too fast for me. I'm working during communion. So I knelt there, and all of a sudden, it seemed as though the entire church fell silent in an instant. But it wasn't, because I knew all around me the priests were singing, and I could see the mouths of the people singing. But it was silent in my heart, and I heard a voice speak to me. Something which I'm still trying to figure out, and I'll mention a little bit more about that later, but I answered out loud. In my parish, we're in the process of building a new facility. We moved 4.5 miles to a new place, and so I'm a builder. And what I said out loud was this, oh God, please let me finish the church first. And the deacon next to me looked at me, and he said, what did you say? So I knew it was said aloud. Father Yozo turned, and he smiled that smile that said, I know something you don't know. The next day, Friday, I gave in. I surrendered. I spent the entire day from 8:30 in the morning until 10:30 that night hearing confessions, with only half an hour break in the evening for supper. It was the best day of my priesthood. I loved it. I used to wonder how St. John Vianney, the Curie of Ars, could spend 12 to 18 hours a day in the confessional. Now I know that it was not so much a burden as a real experience of faith for him, because what happened to me was person after person from all over the world kept coming to me telling me that God is there in Medjugorje, that God is moving hearts to conversion, that God is changing hard hearts, especially priests. On Saturday, the following day, at the end of Mass, and again on Sunday, I saw the sun pulsating. There was one case where I saw a man who was crippled in a wheelchair get up and walk. And by that point, none of this astounded me, because I realized that whenever people are gathered together in great numbers, as Jesus says, whenever two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. That Jesus is working there whenever people gather in faith. And I took it for granted then that the greatest miracle of all in Medjugorje is not all of the things, the external things we look at, the rosaries changing to gold, the photographs that people have, even the healing miracles. The greatest miracle of all is that in Medjugorje, in one place in the world, Christians were doing what Jesus had asked us to do 2,000 years ago. Christians were praying together, singing together, loving together, healing together, giving together, and forgiving together. And they often say now that Rome is the head of the church, but Medjugorje is the heart of the church.